I'm wrestling, not weak for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everybody? You are listening to episode 105 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defense Soap, Defend What You've Built, and Dahlmer Mats. Tommy, it's been a little while. We've been on break. What's new with you, man?
Busy as always, my brother. I had 6 soccer games, a wrestling tournament, football practice, and T-ball practice in one weekend, so I'm exhausted. But it was good. It was fun.
Well, that's good, and I think I did see a picture of you at the Tournament of Champions, and then some of my wrestlers came home and they said they got very superior service at the Rudis booth at the Tournament of Champions, so they were super pumped up.
It's good to hear. Yeah, it was a good Rudis booth, and my son wrestled in the Tournament of Champions. Wrestling began at 8, and he was done at 11:30. Had 4 matches with 4 kids from 4 different states, and I live 14 miles from the venue. So it was incredible.
Well, that sounds like about an ideal scenario for you.
I know.
Yeah. And I know you're going to ask me. I was just also named the Badger RTC coach, so I beat you to the point.
So Ben, first of all, congratulations on being named the Badger Regional Training Center coach. I guess my question to you is, this is a job you had an interest in, and the head coaching job, I should say, at Wisconsin. And I guess I've never heard you talk about this, but it's cool. It's great for the state of Wisconsin. Tell me how – and I truly don't know this to our listeners.
Tommy and I have not – Tommy's been so busy that we haven't even talked. I think we might have texted like twice in the last
– That's right.
However long it's been a while.
So I don't know how all this precipitated, but why don't you just take us through how
– Is that the proper usage of that word?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, precipitated, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know. Coach Bono and Coach Greer showed up at my practice the other night, talked to the kids a little bit, and then they said, hey, do you want to be the RTC coach? And I said, sounds fantastic. And then a couple days later, I drove up to Madison. We hammered out the details of it, and it looks good. It looks like it's going to work. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm still going to be running the AWAs with my brother and Coach Messenbrink. And, the thing I was missing, I was missing coaching at a really high level. You know, I love the technical challenge of the, college and international level. And we're getting better kids in high school, but you don't necessarily always have that level, that level.
Right.
Of challenge. From a technical perspective, right, there's obviously other things that are a challenge, getting kids to believe in themselves, and, X, Y, and Z that are fun. But strictly technical aspect of wrestling. So I get to do that.
Are you going to work with just freestyle guys, Ben? Like, what's the context of what you'll be doing? I mean, you're just the overall
head. It's going to run like an RTC anywhere else, which means that, it's going to be mainly freestyle guys or international level guys, of which they only have 2 of those guys, but we are going to work on getting more. And then, if someone comes in, college guy or 2 comes in with the international guys, I'm able to work with them. And then in the off season practices, in the off season when it's not college season, we have to have RTC practices, of which the college guys can attend. And they even have rules where I believe it's if you place top 4 in your state or something, or maybe place at nationals, you can also attend. And so there'll be some crossover with the youth guys also.
Good deal. And so, question for you is the RTC in Wisconsin, is it positioned to be funded far greater than it's ever been funded? Are there people behind this that's going to move the needle so that you guys can get some top guys in there, or is it just going to be a grassroots thing and you'll see how it goes?
Yeah, well, so they told me that wasn't my job. Obviously, I'll probably get roped into helping in some way, shape, or form. I don't think there's a high level of funding, But obviously, that's a goal that they have. That would be a goal that I have, because obviously I'm going to have a lot more fun if my guys are winning.
Right.
And so, I also obviously have motivation to get some funding so we can bring in some really high-level people, because, you know, the landscape is competitive. Penn State's got $6 million in their fund, and they're paying everybody who graduates at Penn State $60,000. So, you know, there's a challenge in getting kids into your program. And so, yeah, that's definitely something we're going to have to work on.
Well, it's exciting, man. I'm glad you're in the on the international scene now, helping guys out. You're pretty much one of the few guys in America that, and I can honestly say this, you are one of the few guys in the United States, I could probably count them on my hand, that is coaching, mentoring, and developing at every age level in the sport at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, man, it's blessed. It's funny because I was just working with, you know, I was actually just thinking about that, and that was, named the Badger RTC coach late last night, and then today we got our Ninjas class. It's 5 through 9-year-olds, and my daughter's a 5-year-old. She's in there, and we actually convinced a bunch of her friends to try it, and it's a freaking disaster. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do anything, dude. And so it's like, you know, this is like the beginning of the begin. This is like first baby steps in wrestling type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So it's like working at that level, and then it's like, you know, when I go work with RTC, I could be working with Nazar Klitschitsky, who's ranked number 3 in the country, and maybe I believe he might be ranked in the world. So yeah, it's really funny, and it's good. You know what? But coaching at this level is obviously it helps you because you see everything. You have to see everything, right? And kind of how, you know, how it grows. Yeah, so I'm pumped about that, but I'm more pumped about having this discussion with you.
Well, it kind of ties in. I mean, you kind of segued into what we're going to do tonight.
Yeah, that's correct. So if you guys didn't listen to our last episode, we got into the debate a little bit because Willie was going off on Twitter, Willie Saylor, about people transferring to, you know, the Sems and the Blairs, and we were talking about how much that really helps you and all that stuff. And so Tommy and I kind of segued for about 5 minutes into, you know, does high-level performance at a young age equal high-level success later, and all the ins and the outs of that. So that's kind of what we're going to discuss this podcast. You know, I guess, Tommy, if we're going to have this discussion, we got to determine what are our metrics behind long-term success.
Right. I think, well, we got to set the tone for what is verbatim the topic on, and then within that define, you know, like you said, what is success? What is the end game here? So go with the question first.
Well, the question was, does high-level performance at a young age equal long-term success?
Right.
Yeah, and so for me now, it's like, and we've talked about this before, you know, we've never had this exact discussion, but for me, when you're looking at long-term success, obviously there's a lot of different ways you look at it. You look at it as an individual, as a coach, as a sport, right? A sport of wrestling, and you can kind of take it from all those levels. For me, they all equal the same thing. Now, I don't know that everyone can say that, but for me, they all equal the same thing, because if you're ruining kids and they're quitting, then that's bad for those individuals. It might not be bad for all individuals, but it's bad for those individuals. It's bad for your team or your club or your group, and it's also bad for the sport. And so for me, they're fairly one and the same. I think for other people, it could be like, well, this works for my kid, but that doesn't work for everybody else type of stuff, you know?
Right.
And
right.
So for me, that's, you know, long-term success, I'm going to define it as keeping the most kids wrestling as possible. Because, you know, if I expand it far enough, if AWA just takes off and also we have 15 in Wisconsin and we're running everyone state, well, we're going to have all the state champions. So then it's like, well, how do we grow the numbers, right?
Right.
Strictly the numbers, because we're going to have all the state champions regardless. And then it's like, well, if I get 7,000 across the United States, it's like, well, we're going to have all the national champions, all the world team members. So how do we grow the numbers? And because if we grow the numbers, we're going to get continuously better and better and better and better and better. So I don't know. That's kind of how I'm thinking of it. I guess you can go with your definition or how you're thinking of it.
I'm thinking of the same type of definition. I mean, I think in order to kind of funnel it down to the individual, though, I would consider success in the sport is someone who is passionate and excited to be in the sport at a young adult age, and they're capable of winning at a high level. Doesn't mean they are going to win at a high level, because there's a lot that depends on that. But I think someone is, you know, success for me is someone who wants to be successful at a high level and is capable of being successful at a high level. To me, that is success. So, you know, that's what I want to use as the metric. So it's like, if you're wrestling at a young age, or you're developing a proficiency at a young age, is that more indicative or less indicative of someone who is deeply passionate about being successful at a high level, and are they capable of doing that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that, I mean, is that yes and no? Because is that a limited group? Because what are you going to determine as? I guess you said competing at a high level. That's another broad term in itself. So is that just Division I wrestlers? Is that any college wrestlers? Is that high school state place winners? Like, where are you going to go with that?
I'm gonna go because yeah, we've got to get more. We got to get descriptive. We can't be so vague. So I'm gonna go with Division I wrestling.
Why? You're way too narrow, brah. Way too narrow.
Why? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you're telling me you're saying the only people who get success out of wrestling or should feel successful are the ones who make it to Division I wrestling, when that's shit, that's like an infinitesimal portion of anyone who ever wrestles. And I think
but here's the thing, is we're going back to Willie's comment
Are we just going to those high-level kids? So we're not talking about from ground zero then. If we're talking about Willie's kids, then we're talking from kind of like medium to high-tier high school kids.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, go. Let's go from there. That's good. That's a good jumping off point. You know, I think we've had that youth wrestling discussion before. So, okay. And you know, obviously having we had a couple of kids at AWA who've had high-level success in Division II and Division III, and I would consider – those careers very, very successful as well.
No doubt about it. I mean, yeah, I mean.
And those guys, and you know, the guys I'm thinking of that just won national titles, they really enjoy the sport. Whereas, you know, I'm gonna go and pick on someone right now. It's like, hey, if one of my kids says, should I go to a Division II college, which is good and the coach is good, like UW Parkside College, I like here in Wisconsin, I think they're doing a good job. Is that more successful than someone going to, say, Michigan State or Indiana under the old regime, where you know that their chances of being successful aren't very high and their chances of quitting are fairly high? Dude, go to the Division II school that's good all day long.
Right.
So
I guess I'm getting at, you know, these kids that, you know, these kids or these families that uproot where they're from, move 2 hours down the road, or they drive across town to go to a school, or they ship their kid away to another state to wrestle for, you know, an academy or something along those lines. Are those sacrifices and are those moves justifiable to wrestle at UW Parkside? I don't think they are. I think they're only justifiable if it increases your chances of wrestling at a high level, meaning, like, you know, success at Division I. Otherwise, why would you do that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's fair. Okay. Fair enough. So, Tommy, your son is 14 years old. Is he moving to Blair or Sem or St. Paris Graham?
I'm kind of a bad example, Ben, and let me tell you why.
Because you're an NCAA champion?
Because I know wrestling at a very deep level.
Okay,
so
let's pretend you don't.
Let's pretend I don't.
Yeah,
So let's pretend I don't know wrestling, but I understand, you know, the high levels of success in sports.
That's fair.
I would say that I don't think it's needed.
Good. That's how I feel also. Or wait, I should say shoot.
I don't think it's needed, but I would say that I also don't think it's bad.
Hmm. Hey, so on this topic, I got an awesome Facebook message, and I don't think the guy will be afraid of me sharing his name. You remember Tony Ganson? He wrestled at CMU at Oklahoma
I was
State.
on the I was on the junior world team with Tony.
Okay, so he had a very interesting perspective, and he said it happens in Minnesota as well as all over the country. Referring to kids transferring to the power programs. I thought this was one of the a really really good explanation on the topic, and I think there's more angles. I think you and I are going to talk about more angles. But he said one of the things is that especially with these helicopter parents of today, they're always looking for something to be a reason why their kid's not succeeding.
That's right.
And so like, oh, it's the nutrition, it's this, it's that, and then eventually it's, oh, well, it's not the youth club isn't good enough, the high school isn't good enough, so I got to send him to a power program, right? And and he said the point he made is, well, at those places you're going to get very technically proficient, you're going to get strong, you're going to have good training partners, right? And so you're
Right.
going to have at least a moderate level of success for the most part,
Right.
okay? And so, but what you've never done to this point is you've never looked inward, right? You've never said, why am I not having the
Yeah.
success that I want, that I would like to be having? And
Right.
that's really important, is looking into yourself and figuring out why you is it you're not tough enough? Is it you don't deal with adversity? Is it you're not innovative enough? Is it you're not willing to listen to your coaches, right? Which one of these things is it not? And so when you look at those things, you're always looking exterior, right? And then you get to
Yeah.
division level, and you've had the best of everything, right?
That's right.
Then you don't know how to put it on yourself and say, "Hey, I have to fix myself now." I thought that was such an awesome answer, and I don't know what you think about the answer, but it's so like such an intelligent way of thinking.
No, I think there's a lot of validity to it, and I think that you could make the argument that by going this route and going to the ultimate environment when you're in high school, basically adding to what you said, that you're developing an expectation that only external resources can be the difference between you winning and losing. And you become almost like you kind of feel like you're a customer within the wrestling network, where it's like,
Yeah.
what are people doing for me so that I can do what I'm capable of, instead of what am I going to do for myself? I'm the one that's in the position I'm in. I've made the choice to do this way. How do I, leverage what I have and become as good as possible for it? So, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but I think this
You
kind of
got
just
it, because there's multiple. That's I think sometimes people like speaking, and I hate that, in too much in blanket statements.
Yes.
And blanket statements often they don't go deep enough. It's good to have a blanket
Right.
statement sometimes, but when you want to really dig deep, blanket statements don't really cover it all.
So I think there's some validity to it. I mean, I think that, I don't want to name names, but I think I've been around kids that come from programs like this, or actually do come from these programs, and they're almost like, everyone's a vendor and they're the customer. It's like, okay, so I'm here, you got me. What are you going to do with me so that I can do what I need to do in this sport? And it's almost like they feel like they're the customer instead of the partner, or even better,
You're
they're
talking
the
about the
they're
parent now, or what exactly?
the athlete. I'm talking about the athlete. They develop that from
Got
the
it.
parents, though. That
Yeah,
that
okay.
yeah, they develop
It
that
could
from the
be
parents.
parent and child also.
Well, yeah, it could be either or, or both. Most oftentimes it's both, and because the apple never falls too far from the tree. And
Absolutely. Learned behavior.
I've seen this, Ben, and so, I've seen that from the bigger programs more than the kids that come from the, let's call it everyday environments. But here's the unsung aspect of going to these bigger programs that people don't talk about. How many kids, we will never know this, Ben, But how many kids that came from these schools that ended up being great would not have otherwise been great if they went somewhere else, right? So it's kind
of
like,
how many of these kids who went to, say, we're talking St. Ed's Blair, would have not been great?
Yeah, and it's kind of like this.
It's hard to run parallel experiments because it's like, how many of those kids?
You can't do it because there's nothing to compare it to. It's like when people tell me that.
Yes,
it's like when people tell me this. Our folk style environment is superior to an exclusive American freestyle environment. We don't need to switch. Folk style superior. It's like,
I don't want to switch because I love folk style.
But we don't know that. We don't know that all freestyle would make us better or not better.
We do not know that. I mean, you'd have to kind of.
We don't know it.
We don't know. You're right.
Okay. We don't know it. So
you have to assume.
So Yoshi Nakamura, who went to Ed's, and Zach Esposito, who went to Blair, and all these kids, we don't know what they would have been without Blair and Ed.
Yes.
So I think that exists, man. I think there's a lot of great successes at these, you know, iconic places. And now you got Seminary and St. Paris Graham and Clovis and, you know, Montini. And you got all these perennial national programs.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of stories within those programs. You have to agree with me, Ben, because you're a common sense guy. There's probably a lot of kids within those programs that wouldn't otherwise be who they are if they were in an everyday environment.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, I agree with the statement, but does correlation necessarily equal causation? And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of these kids chose to go to those places, and they chose to go to those places because they wanted to be good. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, especially in the beginning, and now I think we're in a different place in time in 2018 where it's almost a status symbol for certain parents to send their kids to one of those places. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago when Flo wasn't around and these things weren't as big, I don't know that was the case. You know, I think it was a Mark Perry saying, I want to go to Blair. And that's right. That's the story, that he wanted to go to Blair. And he wanted to go there because he realized it was going to make him the best. And that was a kid making a mature decision at a really young age. And I don't know that that happens across the board. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. And again, we got to talk out of both sides of our mouth. And I think that, you know, our opinions are the same in that I don't think it's needed to go to these programs. I don't think you need to do it. I think in many ways it's a horse apiece. Meaning, you know, you're going to be – if you're good, you're good. You're going to be good no matter what. And I think in some ways it might take away from the ultimate wrestling experience. And then again, talking out of both sides of my mouth, I do think there's success stories within these programs. I do. I believe it.
Yeah, you know, I get you. I agree with you.
I think there's – but I just can't – I can't prove it. You know, I cannot prove it. We never will prove it. They're like, what if Andy Rovat went to – I think he's from
Elyria.
Mentor.
I don't know where he's from. I'm not an Ohio nerd.
Who would Andy Rovat be? Who would Mike Kozicki be? Who would Mark Perry be if he just went to Stillwater High School? Who would
– Well, Stillwater High School, he's still got a pretty good training situation there.
Right.
There's a little college called Oklahoma State University.
Right. Well, you know, I'm trying to think of these
I'm being a punk.
Who would Dean Hodge be? Who would who would David Turner be if he didn't go to a place like, say, Paris Graham?
Yeah.
Who would you got all these things.
But then there's people – I mean, it would be really interesting to see. So obviously on a percentage basis, your amount of NCAA champions or All-Americans from one of these places is going to be way higher, right? Because – Say 15 really elite high schools times by 50 wrestlers each joining teams. It's only 750 wrestlers, okay?
Right.
And then the rest of the country has, you know, 200,000 some. So you're obviously on a percentage basis, but you know, then you also have to take into account that they're getting the best kids, you know, or going there because either they want to or B, because their parents forced them to, and so. You know, but how many kids come from, you know, me, I came from a small high school. I had a good high school coach, but my high school program wasn't very good. I believe you're a similar story to that. So it's like, it is.
My high school was good. We've had 29 state champs and four different guys become D1 All-Americans. but it wasn't like the schools we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's fair. So damn, Tommy, I think we're almost in total agreement on this topic. Should we just talk about other stuff?
We don't argue enough. What's that?
We don't argue enough.
But I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess we are in agreement, but do you think
I would not send my kids there? I'm also at a high advantage. I don't have to go that far. I think there's something to be said for, you know, obviously if you want to get something, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. But, man, splitting up my family at 13 or 14 years old, I just don't think I'm going to go there.
I'll tell you another reason why, you know, these perennial programs, sometimes I get a little bit, you know, I wonder is, you know, at age 14, do you really want to subscribe to a specific system of wrestling? Or should you still be at that time more of an open book technically? And even with your own training habits, it's almost like you should be falling off your bike more. Yeah. Whereas if you get in this incredibly structured environment, yes, you learn how to ride the bike a certain way at a very high level, but do you know how to use all of the instruments that the bike could offer? Do you know how to expand on your wrestling exponentially when you get, you know, essentially you could get, and I'm not saying all these programs are like this, but you could get boxed in at age 14 in a certain way to view the sport, to compete, to technically execute. And so at age 14, is that, I mean, I think you can tell what I think. I don't think that's proper. Yeah. Now, does that mean if you go to Montini that you're getting boxed in to a certain style?
Well,
no.
A great coach isn't going to box someone in. So are we talking about great?
Yeah, I know that. But at the same time, some of these programs, you know, a lot of these programs are known for
I guess I don't have these programs in my area, and I don't follow in-season high school wrestling enough to know exactly what you're talking about boxing kids in or their specific styles. So I'll leave that one.
I mean, just think about it, Ben. I mean, you know, Penn State wrestles a certain way.
Sure.
Iowa wrestles a certain way. Oklahoma State wrestles a certain way.
Sure.
And even at that age, I think it costs people at the international level, the next level.
Really? So, I mean, with our kids, in the way I think about it, you know, I try to, as you know, we have some basic skills. You got to have a down block go behind. You got to have a leg attack, right? You got to be able to hand fight hard. But obviously, you know, I think there's got to be a realization that every kid is a little bit different. You got to kind of, I don't know if cater to them is the proper word, but you got to figure out what fits best for them. And that, I mean, for me, that's a fun challenge.
And that's what's cool about wrestling. I think that's what makes wrestling very unique is that you can develop your own unique way of winning. And I don't follow other sports as closely, obviously, but I just don't think it's that simple. I think there's kind of standard ways to win and people subscribe to them and they, you know, hitch their wagon to one specific way and they do it. Whereas wrestling is like an evolution. It's a continuous evolvement of skills and, you know, learning where you're at. So I guess what I'm getting at is that sometimes I think about that in these bigger programs. It's like, you know, I think it was good that I hit, you know, silly techniques and no one poo-pooed it or told me otherwise when I was 14, 15, and 16. I think it's good that I did cut weight the wrong way, that I had to learn, you know, I mean, I had good people around me and my dad was involved and stuff, but I still had to learn in my own way. There wasn't like a system where like, hey, on Tuesdays, if you're more than two over, you got to run sprints. On Wednesdays, we have a team dinner and it's pasta with marinara sauce, and then we have a smoothie. And so I feel like going through the sport and having to really do it, at least I felt like in a fairly independent, autonomous way, because of that, I became who I became.
Yeah.
And when I look back on it, it's like if I had someone that was really on top of every action, including my style, my technique, my training regimen, my lifestyle habits, if it was all like cookie cuttered out in these bigger programs, would I have become who I became? Now, I might have been better at that time, but so I asked myself that question, and I can't give a straight answer. I can't say there's no doubt about it, I would have been worse. I can't say that I would be better either. I'm just saying that I think
there's, don't you wish you could sometimes run parallel simulations which you could see the answer? I wish that. I know that's very unrealistic of me, but I do wish that. Seriously.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, wrestling's a great journey, right? And so, like, you know, we have all these debates within the sport and, you know, kids wrestling at a young age. My son's wrestling. He wrestled 38 matches this year and he's 8. You know, he just finished. But it's like, you know, we could talk about that. Is it good or is it bad? And honestly, for someone to just make a blanket statement.
How many do you have? 38?
He had 38.
What grade is that?
He's in the second.
Dang, Tommy. That's more than I would do. Well, I might have to kick you out of my club for some stuff like that.
We were going to do 25. we were gonna do 25, but he wrestled 13 matches in this thing called the Russ Hellickson League, which is very beginner-level wrestling, and all the kids from his kids' club went to it, and he wanted to go with them. Oh, so that kind of bumped the numbers up. But at any rate, I guess there's no – I mean, to say that you going to SEM is bad for you, that's just stupid. But to say that not going to SEM is bad for you is just as stupid, don't you think?
Yeah. I would say that's stupid. I agree.
So what is our conclusion, Ben? What is our conclusion?
For this, I think our conclusion is that it's an individual-based decision and there should be no blanket statement, which means that we gave a pretty damn bad answer. I think you know what? I think we talked very well about the pros and cons of both of them, and I think, you know, neither of us want to be a-holes, and we both lean towards the side that we would say probably not worth making that decision for a variety of reasons. I think we outlined both sides pretty well.
But now that we've had the discussion, I'm going to ask the question and answer it in my greatest summation possible, and then you're going to do the same thing.
Oh, geez. Okay. Go for it.
Does high level proficiency at an early age, such as going to elite level high school programs, is that more indicative of long term success? And my answer to that is, I don't believe it's necessary to go to those programs in order to achieve success. But I also don't think that it's a bad road to go down. I think it's individual case by case basis, and you got to watch out for the things that we've discussed. If you go to those programs, you still got to be able to, you know, carve out your own career without subscribing to a certain method. That's what I got.
I would, generally speaking, I would agree with that. You know, for me, I'm obviously a little more of a free spirit, an open thinker, and I definitely think I would, for me, I'd be boxed in by some of the programs and the way they do it. And you know, the other thing is, I wasn't great from a young age, not even close. I went 0-2 in Fargo as a freshman. I didn't place as a sophomore. I didn't place. And so, you know, if I go to one of those big programs, you know, I'm having success in the state of Wisconsin. I think I'm pretty damn good, you know. But if I go to a Blair or SEM, shoot, I'm probably sitting on the bench, Tommy. I'm probably not even starting. And then I probably think I suck or I don't like it. And so who knows where that goes. And so for me, I think it would not a good scenario at all. And again, that's not a one-size-fits-all answer for everybody. But that's for me and that's for, you know, my kids. I mean, one of the reasons I might get ragged on for this, I can't stand women's gymnastics, Tommy. You know why?
Because you peak at age 15.
Yes, because you peak at age 15. So if the kid wants to be, you know, roughly 10, you know, that they said 10,000 hours, which I know it's not exact, I get it. But the general idea of you got to put a lot of freaking time in before you get your best, is that's true for sure. Right. And so if you're going to start putting in hours like that, you're going to start putting in at 7, 8, 9 years old. Kids ain't making their own decisions at that age. They're just not. They're doing whatever mom and dad tells them to do.
Yep.
And that's crap.
And there's no way around that. It's not gymnastics' fault that you
beat kids. That's what I'm saying. But that's why I don't like it.
But I don't like that element of it. And, you know, you can't have an autonomous dream. If you've got to gear up for your peak at age 16, that means you're 9 and 10.
Grinding. You know,
your parents are helping you decide this stuff.
Telling you what to do.
But, Ben, here's the thing, though, and I'm going to challenge you with this question. You know, what's the difference between a high-level high school program like the ones we've discussed and your academy, right? And so what
the answer is pretty easy to me. And this is, you know, this is gets into that point. I think I might have actually talked about this on a Mental Monday or something.
Well, let me ask the question, though.
I'm going to answer it.
Got to ask the question, though. Do you think that you need to go to an elite academy as a competitive wrestler to reach a high level of success?
For the most part, at this point, yeah, you do.
Why would that be different than a high school program?
Well, for me, why it's different, obviously, we are, you know, well, now they're opening up more, we're trying to get closer and closer to where people live so kids are at home with their parents. I mean, that keeping the family structure up until the age of 18, that's huge for me. I mean, right away, I told you that's one of my biggest reasons why I would never send my kid away is that I want to keep the family structure. Your only kids are 0 through 18 years old only one time, Tommy. You don't get to do that again. Right. So that's huge for me. So I would say that's number one. Number two would be that, you know, one thing, and there's that comment that kids today are having, from those type of programs, are having less success than they used to, right? And so I think that's twofold. I think you could say, number one, well, there are people like me who open more academies. They're way more prevalent than they were 10 to 15 years ago. And so there's more places to get high-level coaching than just those programs we're mentioning, right?
Right.
So that's one factor. The second factor, though, that I think is huge is how much high-level competition you need and how much high-level competition is healthy. And when you're looking at, say, 15 years ago, Tommy, when you and I were in high school, Super 32 didn't exist. Postseason Nationals didn't exist. NHSCA didn't exist unless you were a senior in high school. That was it, right? And so there was, like, very, very, very limited opportunities to compete at a high level. For me, there was almost none, you know. I had to go to UWW Cadets and Fargo. Maybe Northern Plains, I'd get a few good matches. And that was really it. I mean, did you feel – in the fall, Tommy, there was literally nothing in the fall. You freaking couldn't find matches.
I'm still not answering the question.
Okay, no, I'm going to get to – I'm finding the answer. Just so the people know that I'm not telling lies, say that that's the truth.
It is the truth,
okay.
Yeah.
So now today, you can find high-level competition about any freaking weekend of the year that you want to. It's right. All over the place. And so for me, this is huge. Is, you know, our kids in Wisconsin, they're getting a couple – really challenging tournaments during the season, but they're not getting week in and week out competition every single week where they got to get up, right? Where they're scared to add new elements to their wrestling style because they might not win that weekend because you know you're not as good when you add new elements, right? So it's almost like practice time for a lot of these really high-level guys during the high school season. And then so then they get out and, you know, we go to a handful of challenge events. We go to Flow Nationals. We go to UWW Cadets, right? We go to Fargo. We go to Super 3. We go to all the big ones in the off season. But kids who are at a SEM or a Blair, they're wrestling high-level – think about this, Tommy, because you said you got burned out in college. They're wrestling high-level competition.
Dude, that is such a blanket statement.
No, I got burned out in college. You told me that.
I said
– Let me just finish this. That was beside the point. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, even though you did say it. They're wrestling high-level competition every single weekend of the year, Tommy. Have you seen some of these people's schedules? They're freaking insane. And then you go on, and then right after the season, they're grinding at the national tournaments, and then they're grinding to make UWW Cadets, and then they're going to Fargo, and then they're going to Super, right? So it's like they almost don't have a downtime. People complain about the length of a college season, but these kids' season's way longer. And where Wisconsin kids are getting a little bit of a break because they don't have to get up every single weekend because the competition's not as challenging for those kids who are competing for Fargo and that level tournaments, it's almost like a little bit of a break, if you will. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
as opposed to having to be up on top of your game for almost 9 months a year? Think about that.
You still haven't answered why you think it's necessary to join an elite academy, but not necessary to wrestle for a high-level high school team.
I said having high-level coaching is important, and I said specifically why I think our situation here is different than that situation.
I think my answer to that is that I think you need exposure to high levels of instruction and high levels of competition and practice. You need to be tested.
Yes.
And so,
but how much do you need to be tested? Do you need to be tested every single weekend?
Does that mean you have to go to a certain academy? Well, if that's the only way to get that exposure, then yes. Does that mean you have to go to I guess it's almost like you don't need to go to these high level programs, Ben.
Yeah.
Because elite academies exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's almost like you don't need to go to these academies if you live in close proximity. You don't need to go to academies.
No, I mean, I would guess there wouldn't be as many high-level academies where there is a SEM or where there is a – I mean, yeah, obviously Montini and Izzy Style work together, and St. Paris Graham and Jeff Jordan work together, right? I mean, it's one and the same. Obviously, Wisconsin has very strict rules, so it can't be that way.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't think – so here's a statement. This is, I think, a very true statement. I don't think kids need to be at their highest level of readiness – for 9 months a year. And so if you're going Super 32 in October to Fargo in July and everything in between, man, professional athletes don't have schedules that are that tough, Tommy. College wrestling schedule is not that tough. So you need to have some downtime in there. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it's important. Our Wisconsin guys, you know, a lot of the guys who are competing for those Fargo titles, they're not getting challenged week in and week out during the season. They got an easy dual meet here, an easy dual meet there. And I think that's really – really important.
Yeah, and I think I'm trying to subscribe to the same thing. I mean, my son's young, and he does like wrestling a lot, and he enjoys it truly. But what I'm getting at is that I don't like the thought of competing every weekend, to where even though he wrestled 38 matches this year and he wanted to do it all, he never competed two weekends in a row. And that's I think that's because that was by design, because I want my kids to view it as a test, not a grind.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like you take a test, you find out how you did on the test, and then you go back and you try to be better for the next test. And so you can do that even if you're really, really good. You don't have to compete a lot as long as the times when you're competing, the test matches your abilities.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that statement. Totally. You don't, you know, it's kind of, and that's where, you know, guys in Wisconsin have to compete with the high school teams, but it is kind of almost a waste of time for them to go wrestle someone they can pin in 30 seconds. But at the same time, you know, to my point, they're kind of getting a mental letdown, I guess, if you will, or a mental rest. They won't have to. Do you know what I'm saying by that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, what else you got? I'm going to the U.S. Open this week. Are you going?
I'm not. I sell produce for a living, Ben. So, wait,
how long till you can quit that?
I'm never going to quit that, dude. Tommy, I love it.
Stop. You're going to quit. Don't lie.
I love it. You love wrestling more. I love wrestling more than selling tomatoes, yes, but I love my job, and I love it. I love to compete, Ben. You know this, and so it doesn't matter what it is. If there's competition, I'm down.
Yeah, but what if you could just compete and do wrestling all the time? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be fun.
You could talk to me so much more often.
I know. People always ask me, they're like, you know, are you guys going to do this forever? I'm like, listen. I hope we do it forever. But if we ever shut it down, it's going to be my fault, not Ben's. Because working around, you know, my availability, unfortunately, is not easy.
It's difficult. Okay, so next week. I thought we actually came to some pretty good conclusions there, Tommy. I wasn't sure where that was going to go, but I thought it went decent. I hope our listeners
On the academy side of things, for the people, because – for the people that don't belong to academy or an elite wrestling club, I want them to know that from my vantage point, I just think you need exposure to that stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you get exposure to that stuff, let's say from age, I don't know, let's call it 11 to 18. Uh-huh. If you get an adequate level of exposure to elite coaching, elite training partners, and elite competitions, then I think you can get it done even without being an AWA member or Pinnacle. Or,
yeah, but when all the elite kids are going to one place, how are you going to find those elite kids in elite coaching if it's not, doesn't exist other places?
Well, yeah, you have to get exposure. So if the only way to get exposure is to join those academies, then do it. If you can get it in other ways, depending on the state or environment you're in,
yeah,
you know, you might get that exposure in other ways.
Sure. Fair enough. So I hope you get to watch some U.S. Open stuff because I will be there, so I will be consuming a lot of U.S. Open footage.
Yeah, I'll be able to watch. I'm in Indianapolis next weekend with my daughter. It's just she and I, so I'll be able to follow the wrestling. Oh. Unless she's playing in a game, I'll be staring at my phone.
If she's playing a game, then just hide it. You know, hide it and act like you're watching soccer.
No, I gotta watch it. Okay. I'm actually gonna text you a goal she had today. Pretty fun.
Oh, okay, well, that's fantastic. All right, so I think that's it for us. I'm going to go home. Tommy, this was a fun discussion, and we will be discussing all kinds of U.S. Open stuff next week.
All right, brother, have a good one.
You too, good night.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.